This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two, getting underway right here on The Usual Suspects. If you missed anything, go back and check it out. ESPN975.com. Check on the show link. Click on the first hour of the show, and you can catch up on anything that you missed. If you missed it from the get-go, then you are unaware of the fact that Barry Laminack has a fever, and the fever was too much. He needs more cowbell, so he is at home. Cody Stutes, my man, coming in from the bullpen, eating up innings.
Do what I can,
closing
man.
The deal.
Do what I can.
Any matches, Nick, by the way. The golf shirt is one thing, but it matches. I compliment the game. Game representing and recognizing game. The shoes completely match the shirt. That is a good look.
I mean, I'm not really the guy to judge.
Well, we know.
But, yeah. You guys, you and Barry are the fashion aficionados.
I don't, but...
The gearheads.
I don't go to gearheads. You're a gearhead. You fix things. You're a car.
Well, I meant like in terms of shoes.
Sneakerhead.
Yeah.
Sneakerheads.
Yeah.
Okay, so hour number one, and we got a little Texans out of the way. And, of course, we can touch on some basketball. There was a lot to talk about in the NBA last night. We'll get to the fact that Steph Curry had 51 through three quarters last night, 11 threes, and is now the number 5 three-point shooter in the history of the NBA. Ridiculous what he did. The Greek Freak went on another run on national TV. But the more important thing for people here in Houston, Texas, is the fact that your Houston Rockets are struggling out of the gate. Obviously, there's a lot of excuses to be made. Mike D'Antoni is here to tell you that this is a new team full of a lot of new faces. It's going to take some time, but they're going to be okay. There's other people going back and forth on whether Carmelo Anthony was the right sign and if he's going to help out or he's going to be shipped out in short order. Chris Paul, obviously, with the spit gate, was suspended and was suspended again for last night's game, finishing up the two-gamer, and they needed him. And then Harden tweaks a hamstring late in the game. As Nick mentioned earlier in the show, he's already pretty much doubtful for tomorrow night against the Clippers. That's a team you can't look past and take lightly because they beat you in L.A. when you didn't have Chris Paul. So it looks like you get Paul back, probably won't have Harden or James Ennis. Nick, you were at the game last night. The Jazz got a big win that they needed because they haven't been playing well at home, but they got a big win. How concerned are you overall about this Rockets team?
I mean, like I said off the air, a couple days ago, I still want to reserve judgment for 10 games or so, 10 or 15 games, but it doesn't look good. So, like, the big takeaways are what? A, the James Harden injury, which we just kind of gave you an update on. B, Carmelo's performance. I think C would be the team's defense as a whole. So we kind of gave you an update on Harden. Melo, I mean, defensively, I feel like he's putting in an effort to
stop it.
I feel like he's trying. But I think the bigger problem is not Melo's defense.
You pulled this leg, it whistles Dixie. Come on, man.
Well, look.
You were at the game last night, so you probably didn't see this clip, but it's been floating around Twitter. Melo in transition. Lance tweeted out this morning. Melo in transition just lost.
Yep.
No, and then PJ Tucker's over on the bench, sees it. The Jazz score a bucket, and PJ Tucker just throws a towel over his face and just leans back like in disgust.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, I didn't see the PJ Tucker towel thing, but I was sitting next to Jake Asman, and he was telling me the same thing. He goes, because he's a New York fan. And New York Knicks fan, and he was telling me Melo is the absolute worst in transition. You don't pass the ball to Carmelo in transition. But look, at the end of the day, what I feel like is Carmelo's defense is not what's putting a halt into the Rockets situation. I think the bigger problem with Melo is his decision making and his shot selection on offense. I think that's a bigger problem than whatever you feel he has issues with on defense. And the other thing I'm really concerned about is his relationship with Eric Gordon. Now they're considering Carmelo Anthony to be a starter in the upcoming game. Mike D'Antoni hasn't officially made a decision, but I don't know if Eric Gordon's going to be okay with that. I just don't, you know?
So here's the deal, all right? Because I've already gone on a couple of soapboxes that wrote an article on Sunday night talking about how putrid the defense has been, to which everybody said it was only three games in. Well, now it's more than that, and the defense still has no signs of showing up anytime in the near future. the Melo thing is getting annoying to me and Nick, because you have to cover this team and go in the locker room after games. The fact that you have two perennial all-stars on your squad, and yet the number one most interviewed, most questioned, most quoted player in that locker room is Carmelo Anthony, and it's all about him. It's all about, I still have to deal with this emotionally and get in the right mindset. I still have to wrap my head around the fact that I'm not starting and the minutes aren't the same. And that rolls into what you just said, because that's something that I was aware of, that I have felt, but I have not said a whole lot on, but I will now. Eric Gordon is the biggest loser in this entire deal when it comes to Carmelo Anthony. Eric Gordon not only needs to be on the floor with some semblance of the starters, because it provides him with open looks. Everybody said, why is Eric Gordon struggling shooting the ball right now? Well, Nick, you touched on it, and I can elaborate on it. One, because Carmelo Anthony is on the floor, and because of what Jake Asman said, and the fact that when he's on the floor, especially in transition, if he touches it, it ain't going anywhere else but up at the basket. Okay? Eric Gordon has to be in the flow of an offense with guys that create defensive help situations. They penetrate. They put the ball on the floor, and defenders have to help. Therefore, he benefits by getting open looks or isolation plays where it's him and a much bigger guy where he can get his. He's not getting those. He's also coming up on a contract year, so he's frustrated that he knows he has to still get those shots. So when he doesn't get the ones that he's expecting that he's gotten in the past, when he gets the ball in his hands, he's just firing away because he's got to try and make up for lost time. So he's not getting the quality of looks or the quality minutes with the right players on the floor that he did in the past. And on top of all that, you know, it's chapping his ass that no one cares about Eric Gordon right now. All everyone's talking about is Carmelo Anthony. So I see it getting worse before it gets better. I see that when this team is healthy and they build some more chemistry, obviously the Bahamas trip wasn't enough, that they can get to a better level from an offensive continuity standpoint. But defensively, guys, I got the same concerns I had, and you can see me at game one, at 15, at 30, at 41, and I got a bad feeling we're going to have the same conversation. This team can't stop anyone.
Yeah. Look, they allowed 100 points, which nowadays in the NBA is actually not that bad.
It's common, right?
It's kind of common. So if they can continue to hold good teams at 100 or below, maybe that shows some sort of positive sign for the defense. But I'm, like I said, to me, the relationship between Carmelo Anthony and Eric Gordon is so important on this squad, because I think Eric Gordon being on the second unit, he's not going to want to be the second option on the second unit. I just don't think so. And I think that's a huge, huge problem.
The thing I'd be really worried about is what Joel talked about, is you've got Gordon, you've got Melo, and the different approaches with the basketball. Is with Melo on this team, like, will we see rocket ball like we saw it last year, where they were, you know, okay, 20 points in, you know, just a matter of moments? Like, is that possible with Carmelo Anthony on this team? And more importantly, is it possible when Melo's on the floor for whoever he's playing with? Because you could look at this Rockets team last year, and it could be on any given night, anybody off the bench could give you, you know, 6 to 9 points in the middle of a 20-4 run, and there was no break in the flow. It's like, if is Melo going to break up the flow to where it, as you mentioned, affects Gordon, and then the, you know, the ripple effects off of that is, okay, no more Rockets basketball as we know it.
That's the thing.
Like, no more easy offense.
You see signs of it, and everybody's saying, well, it's early. But you already saw, there's another clip floating around on the internet where Gerald Green's had enough of Carmelo already, too. And they have words on the court, and he's kind of, like, dismissive and was like, okay, enough of this. You had so many things go right for you. This is like the Astros playoff run, right? You had so many things go your way a year ago to get 65 regular season wins instead of franchise record, to have the number one seed, to have the best record, to have everything going your way for a long period of time. This one right here sets up like it's the exact opposite. Year two, the growing pains are kicking in. The changes aren't working right now. And there's going to have to be a lot of soul searching in that locker room. And those two guys that I mentioned, those two all-stars, they're going to have to grab the bull by the horns and control this thing. And that's their guy. That's the guy that only they wanted in Carmelo Anthony. We know that Mike D'Antoni's not getting into all that. We know that Bezdelic said, I'm out. Those are the two guys that are going to have to grab Carmelo and go, it's not about you, bro. The reason why we brought you in is because you can help us get over the hump, not create one we can't get over. So therefore, get over yourself and your ego and realize this isn't UCLA pickup ball in the summer anymore. This is for all the marbles, and we need you to be a good soldier falling in with the game plans that we've got laid out, because our guy knows what he's doing as a coach. And if you can't do that, $2.4 million I'll take, and I'll lose, and I'll move on. Simple as that. So we'll continue to roll on. If you want to join in on the Rockets conversation, 713-780-3776. The text lines are, of course, always open at that number as well. And you can also tweet us. I'm writing them down right now and getting ready to blow and go with Sigmund Bloom. Fantasy football questions at 2:30 for one segment only. If you want to call, call at 229. If you want to just make sure that you get your questions answered, text them or tweet them now. We'll get them on the list. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Come back, baby, because I like to say I've been around the world back from Bombay.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Appreciate it. A shout out to our intern, Jane. She's doing a great job today answering the phones. Do also want to remind you guys, hey, look, if Barry was here and not out with FIVA, he'd be breaking that FIVA and breaking a sweat tonight at Vortex. It is grand opening week at Vortex, and it is a place that you should check out if you are looking for the ultimate fitness studio featuring both boxing and spin classes. And because it's grand opening week, there is lots of stuff to do. Obviously more than just the classes themselves, but Barry's the first one to tell you. Workouts are all followed by food and drink and fun, and obviously they're on the healthy side. But Nick has already been there for a boxing class and can tell you that those scented, chilled towels are phenomenal when you get
they
done
are.
With the class.
Ooh.
Cody, please don't wipe your underarms. Okay. Each day of the week this week is a different special. Tonight, Thirsty Thursdays, come work out, then get a complimentary beer after. So if you work out hard enough, you deserve that. Friday, tomorrow, Freaky Friday Dual Class Challenge sponsored by Vitality 4. Also a pumpkin carving contest. Winner gets 3 free classes. And let me tell you, that is a deal. Saturday is Sweat Down Saturday featuring Beatbox, B-Yoga, and the Chop Shop. I'll let them explain if you call or go out to Vortex themselves. Also, lots of other things, including Pink Sunday in support of Women's Breast Cancer Awareness. It is a fantastic place to work out. Special grand opening prices, $100 off a second month on all unlimited packages, $20 class pack for $240, $12 a class. Normally, they're $25 a class. Find out all about it at vortextexas.com. It's in Midtown. It's close. West Grand Dunleavy. So anybody in the downtown area, it's a place you should be. Nick, you've already punched a few bags in there.
I've been there. I've had one boxing class, super clean gym, super nice place. You can even get a smoothie after the class as well. The scented towels that Barry's referring to are amazing.
I'm not Barry. I'm Joel. You're not the intern.
But
just letting you know.
But yeah, I mean, the boxing class was cool. I've yet to do the spin class. I'll probably do that next week.
I would really like to see you do a spin class. I might for that.
It's going
to
be pretty embarrassing.
I'm going to be in the bike next to you just going, you're a maniac, maniac. That's Flashdance. I found out in the break, by the way, all the movies you haven't seen.
Yeah, that was a pretty long list.
I'm old, and it's disturbing that you haven't seen the movies that Cody's even seen. Cody's not old.
I'm going to Google some of them right now.
Yeah, you've never seen National Lampoon's Vacation. You've never seen Uncle Buck. Two classics. I guarantee you haven't seen Flashdance, have you?
Okay, I've seen Uncle Buck. I lied.
Liar.
Yeah.
You're just lying to us because you don't want us to embarrass you.
John Candy. No, I didn't. I don't remember. I'm terrible with... you can embarrass me. What was the other one? National what?
Vacation, dude. National Lampoon's Vacation. Have you seen any National Lampoon movie?
I think you're throwing him off calling it National Lampoon's, even though that's the name.
Yeah.
It's like... So you've never seen Vacation?
I've never seen that one, for sure.
Chevy Chase, Christie Brinkley, no?
Nope.
You ever seen Christmas Vacation?
I have.
How did you see Vacation?
He's lying. This is just his cover right now.
No, so you're not talking about the one with Vince Vaughn then?
The what?
No, we're not talking about that one.
Christmas Vacation with who? With Chase? Chevy Chase? Oh, okay. Yes. No. I've not seen that.
Are you talking about Four Christmases?
Four Christmases. This is what I'm thinking
about. With Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah.
No.
Big difference.
No, I don't. I haven't really seen all these old movies. Like, and Chevy Chase was not a guy that I really followed that much. I'm sorry. I'm not that big on movies.
You don't have to apologize. I'm just not big on it.
Just not big on it.
Little known fact that Cody dressed up as John Candy one Halloween, too.
John Candy I liked. I mean,
You dressed up as Chris Farley as Chris a Chippendale.
Farley. Chris yeah. Farley as a Chippendale. And then
you were a stand-in for Uncle Buck.
And then one year for, I was the Chris Farley like news guy.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. Baron, something like that.
Not the guy that broke the coffee table in the living room?
No, that's Matt Foley. That's a motivational speaker. Yeah.
All right, well, we were talking Rockets before the break, and the calls are starting to line up because you guys want to get in here on Red Nation. So with that being said, Kevin, you were first to call. You want to talk about your Rockets. What's up, man?
Hey, man, how you guys doing? Hope you guys are having a great day. Let me say a few things. I disagree with you guys' point in regards to, I guess, kind of singling out Carmelo Anthony, man, as, I guess, the main issue on this team. I'm a big NBA fan. Watch pretty much every game, Rockets and across the league, man. Carmelo Anthony is one of the minimal issues that this team has. And I like what D'Antoni finally did last night. They put the guy in the right spot. If you look at the first three games prior to last night, man, they just kind of had Melo out there being a spot-up shooter. But yesterday, if you watch the game, man, he was in his spots. You know, he was very efficient in terms of what he's done throughout the league. And I think they can use him similar to what they did with CP3 last year. If you watch the first 10 games of Chris Paul's career beginning with the Rockets last year, man, he was just like a spot-up shooter. And that's not what he's – you know, that's not what CP3 is. And I don't think necessarily that's what Carmelo Anthony is. Two final points, and I'll hang up and listen. Secondly, man, this team lacks hunger and energy and effort, man. Four games into the season, I don't see the desire there as we maybe seen last year with this team. And I think you're beginning to see that four games into the season. And then I want to ask you guys this. I think one of the biggest problems that this team has now, they need another big guy, man. The only person on this team that is really – consistently giving effort on the defensive end, and people may not want to hear this, it's not Clint Capela, it's P.J. Tucker,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely right.
Four games into the season, that big contract that they've given Capela, it doesn't look too good now, man. The guy, he doesn't seem to have the energy and effort that he had last year. I think they need another big guy, and his name is not Nene. Thank you, guys, and for taking my call, and I hang up and listen.
All right, so
lots to digest there.
Lots of stuff.
Let's
there.
Let's start unpacking.
And we appreciate it with Kevin. Look, first and foremost, if you listen to everything that I said, realize I didn't say that Melo was the biggest problem. I said their defense is the biggest problem because they can't stop anybody.
Right, we didn't single out Melo as the problem for the Rockets. There's obviously some lineup issues as well, so that was the first thing I was going to clarify as well.
Right.
I don't single out Melo as the problem for the Houston Rockets on offense or on defense. I think he is a problem. I think it is important for him to have a good relationship on the second unit with Eric Gordon. In terms of Clint Capela, the contract, that's actually kind of a contract they had to give. And if you really think about it, in an inflated era of NBA contracts, it really wasn't that high. It could have been a lot worse.
Better to have him at that rate on your squad than on somebody else's squad, for
absolutely.
Sure.
And you're only worth what other teams are willing to pay for you, and that's actually a really good deal for Clint Capela. Do they need another big man? Perhaps. Nene may not be the answer. He's only good for, what, 10 or 15 minutes a game, and they weren't really able to utilize him in the postseason last year, so I tend to agree with you there. But, yeah, there's a lot more problems than just Carmelo. And look, man, when who's the kid, the G League kid? Gary Clark, when he was in the game, I'm honestly, man, I hope he develops and I hope he has a great career, but I was glad he was only on the floor for 2 minutes. They're still playing with lineups. And so Tucker is without a doubt the defensive machine on this team, and Clint Capela still has some learning to do, but that's what you got. That's the roster at hand right now.
Isn't Capella's success predicated on, like, the flow of how the game is going, though? Like, Clint Capela's not a guy that is getting his own shot by himself short of a put back off of a rebound.
No, he doesn't really create for himself.
So it's like when we talk about like what we were talking about earlier, when it's not rocket ball, when it's not that tons of movement, you know, the screen and rolls, and it's not working, like Capella's going to look out of place because there's not an element of go get his own to his game. So he's going to look out of place when guys aren't creating for him and those nice passes, you know, where he takes one step and yams it, like, aren't coming his way. Like, he's a product of the success of the team. And so, like, he's going to look bad when they look bad. And they looked a little bad last night.
Yeah. I mean, he had a basket in the first, and he showed up in the fourth, and that's all he did. So you need more from him.
Well, and here's the thing, fellas. I mean, as we wrap up that call, the bottom line is Clint Capella is only going to succeed if he plays the way you guys were talking about that they played a year ago. Cody, you brought it up. Can they get back to the way they played a year ago, or is it going to be a thing of the past because of the roster that they've constructed for this season? Because Clint Capella excelled, and we all know the numbers. When he and Paul and Harden were on the floor and they played that way, they were tough to beat. This year's a different story. I could not agree with him more. The best defender on that team right now is PJ Tucker. He's not getting any help. And I've said, pound for pound, inch for inch, if you get a guy Tucker's size or below, he's going to dominate them defensively. But when you are telling him he has to guard Rudy Gobert, he has to guard bigger, big men in this league, it's a problem. And it will be. And it should be. But the bottom line of all of this is there's a lot of work to be done and changes could need to be made. And a decision has to be made. Do you want to try and get back to playing like you did a year ago? And can you do it with the personnel you currently have? Or is Daryl going to have to work his magic like he's done in the past and reshuffle the deck on the go midseason to make this thing work? Questions that need to be answered. Patrick's on hold. Patrick, you're going to have to hold out or call at 2:45 because Sigmund Bloom is next. We're going to get a little fantasy football in here for one segment. Then we're going to get back to the discussion. So, Patrick, you can either hold or you can call us back at 713-780-3776, and we'll get your Rockets call after the fantasy football segment. But, again, use that number, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Sigmund Bloom's next. We're going to talk fantasy football. Don't go anywhere. Now the sun's disgrace.
Keep on doing his following. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you know how we do it. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. That means the second half could not be more important to the overall outcome, and that means we are going to start strong with Sigmund Bloom. If you do not follow him on Twitter, you're idiots. But you can make up for those mistakes if you just go to at Sigmund, S-I-G-M-U-N-D, Bloom, B-L-O-O-M, on Twitter. He is the utmost, foremost, and best at giving you answers to your fantasy football questions. And also, log on and get to footballguys.com because it is a ton of information that can help you week to week with your fantasy football segment. Sigmund, appreciate you, as always, spending some time with us. And we always just kind of do the machine gun and blow and go as many questions as possible. But I want to get your take because we've been kicking it around tonight just from a pure football perspective. The Houston people are trying to analyze what's going to happen in tonight's game. And you can get the fantasy aspects as well. But overall, are you starting to believe in this Houston Texans team tonight? And what do you see coming out of what happens tonight at Energy Stadium?
Yeah, I am. And I think that what we should see is Houston holding serve against a team that they have some advantages and rational coaching to leverage those advantages. On offense, I would expect we would see a lot of Lamar Miller with some Alfred Blue sprinkled in, maybe 30 carries combined for the two of them. You want to protect Deshaun Watson while he's still got some internal injuries. There's no reason to be dropping him back to be hit a lot in this game. I know the Texans were having a lot of trouble protecting him. It seems like this is a better run blocking line than a pass blocking line. Without Kiki Cutie, it would be a little more of a challenge. He was helping them open up some things with the jet sweeps and the running game, but that should be more targets for Will Fuller. So Will Fuller is safe to put in your lineup. And on the defensive side, I think we're finally seeing what we've envisioned with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney on the same defensive line and what that can produce. Zach Cunningham is really coming on. I think the Honey Badger retirement, he's been a tremendous signing. Justin Reed has been an instant hit. Now Andre Howell is back. That's wonderful, beautiful news on a personal and a football level. Kareem Jackson has taken well. So the secondary, which has been a weakness for this defense, is turning into a strength along with the strength up front. So, yeah, this is going to be a team that the expectations aren't just to hang on now since they started 0-3, but to bring this thing home with Jacksonville in disarray.
Oh, good stuff right there. Okay, so with that being said, we got a full board of calls. We're going to get to the calls, and I have the questions written down as well. Segment's ready to go. Again, if you can't get your question asked or answered during this segment, make sure you hit thefootballguys.com or just get on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom. Okay, let's go from top to bottom, and let's start with Trevor. Trevor, you got a fantasy question for Sigmund. What's up?
Yes, sir. Sigmund. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Phillip Lindsay or Stephon Diggs, and with Michelle Hurt, would you go Buck Allen or Smallwood?
I think that I probably would go away from Buck Allen this week. Baltimore down in Carolina. And in a PPR league, I like Stephon Diggs. I think that he's going to get a ton of targets against New Orleans this week. It should be a shootout on Sunday night.
Bo, you're up. Go.
Two questions, Isaiah Correll or Latavius Murray, and then a tight end, Kittle or Njoku?
I'll go with Kittle just because he's been more consistent. I have an account on Baker Mayfield at Pittsburgh. Correll and Murray, I have limited expectations for both of them. I'd probably go with Correll, getting a chance to get most of the work with Bilal Powell on IR.
Good stuff there. Jared, what's up?
I've got a PPR flex question. Should I go with Larry Fitz, Nelson Agholor, or Alex Collins?
Yeah, good Larry Fitzgerald. He looked better last week. I'm excited to see, or hopefully excited to see, Byron Leftwich calling the shots as the offensive coordinator in Arizona. Hopefully a lot better offense this week against San Francisco.
Rich, you're up. Go ahead.
Hey, three quick ones. Breeze or Rodgers, Lamar Miller or T.J. Yeldon, or the Rams or the Bears? Appreciate it.
Yep. Bears against the rookie quarterback, Lamar Miller, who should have a second straight good game in a row tonight, and Aaron Rodgers. I'm not even sure I would start Patrick Mahomes over Aaron Rodgers this week against the Rams.
Really? With as good as the Rams defense is?
The Rams defense, remember that game on Thursday night between the Rams and the Vikings that got into a shootout?
Yeah, yeah.
And everything was working. I think that's what we're going to see when they get together Sunday afternoon.
Interesting. Okay, that's good stuff. All right, Watson or Trubisky?
Trubisky, because, again, rational coaching is don't leave Deshaun Watson out there to get hit a ton. Trubisky's been the best quarterback in fantasy football over his last 3 weeks. He's got a good matchup against the Jets.
Who would have thought that? PPR, Gabriel or Geronimo Allison?
Gabriel. Allison will be back and still getting those deep balls from Aaron Rodgers, but Gabriel is the deep threat for the Bears, and the only reason he had a poor week last week is because Bill Belichick devoted a lot of resources to him. The Jets' secondary is banged up. Gabriel should have a big week this week.
John Brown or Alshon Jeffrey?
I'm going John Brown. Carolina's defensive backs are a weakness of that defense. Alshon Jeffrey will probably have to see Jalen Ramsey in London this week.
Quick question on the Jacksonville Jaguars segment. Yeah. The trade was made for Carlos Hyde. How much time is going to take before you start seeing him factor into what they're doing on offense?
He'll probably get 8 or 10 carries in this game, but it's against a very tough Eagles run defense. Leonard Fournette is back after the bye in Week 10, so I think Hyde has little to no value.
Okay, flex Cobb, Doug Baldwin, Nick Chubb.
Baldwin, and I would expect that Baldwin and Russell Wilson are going to have a big second half like they have the last few years getting started this week against Detroit. And Baldwin will avoid Darius Slay lining up in the slot.
Nick Chubb or Lamar Miller?
Lamar Miller. Chubb's got a tough matchup at Pittsburgh, and Lamar Miller has an easy matchup, and he's coming in red hot.
All right. Latavius Murray, Drake or Yeldon?
Give me Drake. Hopefully Miami's coaches will use him a little more extensively with the injuries to the wide receivers. He's had two good weeks in a row, and I think he's the best thing they have on their offense.
Tweet coming in, should I shop Keenan Allen, or are we gearing up for a 2017 Keenan Allen?
Well, that is certainly recent in our minds that in the second half of the year he really came alive. I would be open to shopping him because I think a lot of people are still holding on to that, so I'm listening to offers. I'm not necessarily underselling him, but at the same time, I think, you know, we get into specifics. Like, if I could trade use Keenan Allen to trade up to somebody like Devontae Adams or Antonio Brown, I'm going to do that. I might not be trading Keenan Allen down to weaker players, though.
Sigmund, which Oakland running back do you trust?
No one, really. But I guess Jalen Richard in PPR leagues, because this is a way to fade Oakland. If you think Oakland's going to be behind late in games and just going in their garbage time offense, that's when Jalen Richard's going to catch 6, 7, 8 balls a game.
PPR got a pick 2. AP, Chubb, Lamar Miller, or Alex Collins?
I'll go with Peterson, who's been fantastic, and the offense is going to run through him. And then Miller, really like Miller tonight because of the matchup and because of the momentum.
Memo to the Texans. AP has been fantastic. Yeah. Bears defense or Packers? Is that even a question?
Yeah, no, it's not. Packers defense is just going to be struggling to keep up. Bears defense has a great matchup at home.
Yeah, Packers defense struggled against the Niners with a backup quarterback.
Sigmund, where are you on Indianapolis as a defense this week, considering they had the good week against Buffalo and it's Oakland in a really weird situation?
Yeah, I'm open to them, even though it's a road game, but I wouldn't take them over, say, Kansas City against Case Keenum at home, or New England, of course, against Buffalo. Play whatever defense you can against Buffalo. Arizona's defense was really good against San Francisco a few weeks ago. They get that matchup, and San Francisco's offensive line was just taken apart by the Rams last week. So Pittsburgh at home against Baker Mayfield, a rookie quarterback, also looks good. So I'm not against playing the Colts, but chances are I think there's someone on your waiver wire that I prefer.
Tight end question, Njoku or Howard?
I'll give a slight edge to Njoku just because he's getting some end zone targets that Howard isn't getting, and it seems like Baker Mayfield trusts him more than just about anybody else in that offense. Howard's a fine play against Cincinnati. I just prefer Njoku slightly.
Need to pick 2. Baldwin, Funchess, Jordy Nelson, Chris Thompson.
Baldwin and Funchess. And Chris Thompson should be back this week, but I want to see him first before I can trust him. And I really don't want to have to rely on the Oakland offense, maybe except for Jared Cook, who's a low-end tight end one, if I have to.
Deshaun Watson or Jameis Winston?
Winston. And even though he's not playing well, he's going to put up numbers. The offense runs through him. And again, I would hope to only see Watson throw the ball, say, 25 times tonight.
Lamar Miller or Tyler Boyd?
Boyd's fascinating in a PPR league because of the matchup against Tampa Bay. So if it's a PPR league, I might give a slight edge to Boyd. If it's a 0.5 PPR or non-PPR, I'll go with running back Miller.
All right. Jimmy Graham or Jared Cook?
Graham, and give me the one who Aaron Rodgers throws the ball to.
I've been telling Nick that for weeks. Taylor Gabriel or Tyler Boyd?
I like Gabriel a lot this week in a non-PPR league where you're looking for yards and touchdowns. I do think that Boyd has potential to catch 7 or 8 passes. I like him better in a PPR. But I'd probably break ties in favor of Boyd.
Need to pick 2 of these 4. Diggs, Thomas, Edelman, Amendola.
Diggs and Thomas, absolutely. I'd say 2 or 3.
Two of the 4.
Diggs and Thomas, absolutely.
All right. A couple more guys before we get out of here. Duke Johnson or Crowell?
I'll go with Crowell, although if the Browns and Hugh Jackson has his head on straight, I'm not going to stop right there. Duke Johnson would do more this week, but go with Crowell.
Okay, and then Redskins or Steelers defense?
I'll go with the Steelers defense at home, usually, but they're a lot better. They got after Matt Ryan the last time they were at home, so it should be pretty good.
And then do you see any big changes or like a shift with the Browns offense if indeed Hugh Jackson gets involved more with Todd Haley's offense?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think that they're still trying to figure things out there, and just based on what Hugh Jackson says publicly and how all over the place he is about his rationales for things, I wouldn't assume he's going to improve anything.
Well, we appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure, and you are the one that brings the heat. Great information there from Sigmund Bloom. Again, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter, footballguys.com online. And Sigmund, tell them when you do the updates and how they can reach you.
Yeah, Sunday mornings I do a thread on the message board at Football Guys. If you register there, you can ask a question. I answer questions until game time. We've got the lineup dominator, the trade and waiver wire dominator apps to help you, and do 9 episodes of my podcast, The Audible. We cover it from every angle you could possibly hope for.
There you have it. Sigmund, we appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks. I look forward to it.
There you go. Sigmund Bloom, as I said, and make sure that if you're in a fantasy football league and you're trying to decide, it's Galladay, not Galladay. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the show. It is Cody Stutz in for Barry Laminack on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Nick is here, as always, behind the glass, kicking ass. You should be a part of the show. Sigmund Bloom was fantastic. Just got some tweets to say thank you to Sigmund, as his knowledge is already paying dividends for people throughout the season, so they appreciate him, and we appreciate him as well. Also, want to remind all of you that it is grand opening week at Vortex, Texas. We've been talking about them a lot. Nick has done the boxing class with Barry. Barry's done cycling as well. It is a convenient location. Very clean, very nice facility on West Gray and Dunleavy in the Midtown area. And it has got fantastic features. They got ex-boxers teaching you in the boxing studio. They've got great cycling classes. And everything is followed by a little bit of a mixer. Food, drink, and fun. And all through this grand opening week, every single day there's another special going down. Another neat opportunity that they have going. Tonight's Thursday. Thirsty Thursday, after the workout, complimentary beer. Freaky Friday tomorrow, dual class challenges sponsored by Vitality 4, and also a pumpkin carving contest. If you bring in a carved pumpkin, the winner gets 3 free classes at Vortex. Let me tell you, that's a pretty hefty savings if you win that. Also, promotions Saturday and Sunday and grand opening specials on memberships and classes. Check them out, vortextexas.com. So with that being said, we appreciate Patrick. He's been holding for quite a while. He wants to get back to this Rockets conversation. We do too. Patrick, what's up and what's on your mind?
Well, guys, it's always nice to listen to your show. First off, I have to say that. I also want to say I'm nowhere near my radio, so if you can keep me on, that'd be great. I have a trade for the Rockets I think should do that they'll never do, and you'll probably kill me for it, but I think it would help the team's chemistry, it would help the flow of the game, and it would bring out the talents of Chris Paul and the other members of the roster a whole lot better. And that is, get rid of the real problem, James Harden, and trade him for Jimmy Butler. You want defense? There you go. You're getting defense, you're getting scoring, you're getting a player that plays into Chris Paul's skill set a whole lot better, because Jimmy Butler's a slasher, not a dribbler that eats the ball up. And you get to keep P.J. Tucker, you get to keep Eric Gordon, and you're going to have a much more well-rounded team.
Okay, Patrick.
And you're not going to get somebody who chokes every time in the clutch.
Patrick, you're dead serious, aren't you? Because Cody's over here cackling away, and he's laughing at this. He's scoffing at it. And so I want to verify you are dead serious that you're going to trade the MVP for Jimmy Butler. I'm not scoffing. I'm just asking the question.
Okay, so people get enamored with stats, and they go, oh, he's an MVP. He scores. What else does he do but score?
I mean, he has some of the best court vision and passing in the game. I mean, you look at his numbers, and look, and I'm not the biggest James Harden fan of all time. I can assure you that, and if you listen to the show at any time, you know that. But at the same time, you can, as much as I get tired of the browbeating with numbers and analytics, you can't scoff at the fact that when you look at across the board, the assists, the rebounds, and the points, it's not like a DeMar DeRozan where you're going to get points and nothing else. He does fill up the box score in other ways.
He fills up the box score because he's selfish. And without that, you take away that selfishness, you take away the inability or unwillingness to play defense. Right, you get Patrick. A more complimentary player. You can't tell me Butler's not going to get you rebounds and assists and buckets, and he's going to actually shut down the other team's opposing player. The Rockets have two players in their backcourt that cannot play defense.
All right, so remember, you can't hang up on Patrick because he has to listen because he's not near his radio. We are 4 games in to the Houston Rockets 2018-2019 basketball season. And we've had our first of what I assume will be many let's trade James Harden phone calls.
That they just signed for, I don't know how many
millions
of
dollars. Look, I'm not saying Jimmy Butler is not a better defender. It's absolutely true. But you're talking about a 6-7 point difference for one. You're talking about a guy that doesn't play well with the ball in his hands and handling the ball like a point guard, which Harden does a lot of the time. So he facilitates the offense, which Butler's not going to do. The only thing that I can say which is advantage Butler is defense. I'm not going to argue that point. And I think that Jimmy Butler added to this team, if the way it's constructed currently is the way you're going to go and you are firmly believing that Melo's going to be a part of the process. I said this the other night. I told Kelly Eco this. If they're going to do this and they're going to do this for the rest of the season, then you should trade Eric Gordon because it's not going to fit. It's not going to work. And he is going to be pissed off the entire year coming up on a contract year. So you have to decide that if this is the way you're going to go and the roster you're going to go with, then I think that, yes, you keep P.J. Tucker because the only guy that's defending for you now, but you see if there's another way to do it to get a Jimmy Butler because you need help on defense.
I was so excited when Patrick said, I got a trade. Because, by the way, I love trade discussion in the NBA, especially four games into the season. I thought, okay, I can't wait to see what he's getting ready to say. He's like, okay, well, it's not really that mellow. He's like, the real problem. And I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. What does Patrick think is the real problem? And then he decides that the most valuable player in the National Basketball Association is the real problem with the Rockets, and that he's selfish despite being third in the league in assists per game and having some of the best court vision, as Joel mentioned, in the NBA, and that he doesn't come through in the clutch. But he wants to bet on million-year-old Chris Paul and half a million-year-old Carmelo Anthony and Jimmy Butler.
Man.
Going forward.
You want to talk about a complete change from, you guys were talking about the change from last year to this year. You want to talk about going from going 95 miles an hour to going 9? Go ahead and make that trade right there.
Basketball's not won that way anymore. You don't win playing that style of basketball anymore.
Look at the numbers that I gave you less than a week ago when I said that, and to Nick, to your point earlier in the show as well. 100 points is nothing in the league this year. Everyone's doing it. Only in the last two games when you saw the Celtics only in the 80s, you saw a couple teams in the East kind of regress a little bit. But overall, the only team holding teams under 100 in the first three games of the year were the Nuggets. And that's crazy in itself, the way they score points. But everyone was over 100 scoring. Most were over 120.
The Rockets already feel like they are rebuilding a team with what they had to give up. And not being able to sign Ariza and some of the defensive...
I don't think they're rebuilding, but I'd say retooling.
Retooling. Yeah.
Right. I mean, in a way, they feel that way. And you're right, they are retooling. But you don't want to do that, and you don't want to trade Harden because you're completely changing the dynamic. You're ending an era. They're not going to be as fluid. Not that they're very fluid right now, but it's just not a good decision.
But I think Patrick brings up, like, makes me think about an interesting point. Because he's talking about a trade and trading much less James Harden four games into the season. And, like, you can't trade James Harden. That's not what's wrong with this basketball team. And I look at last year's team, and I'll probably hark on this point for a long time. You look at last year's team, 65 wins, 17 losses. And I understand it was not conceivable to bring back every single piece and just completely run it back the exact same. I get that. Trevor Ariza had a say, and the $15 million that Phoenix was going to give him had a say in this thing. And Bamute had a say on where he was going. But to not bring in that same style of player, in whatever way you need to go get that guy to bring that guy in, to not bring in that same style of player, like, I think it's lunacy that Patrick wanted to change the Rockets that much. I think it's lunacy that Daryl Morey changed the Rockets as much as he did.
I couldn't agree with more with that.
And now you're seeing, okay, Mike D'Antoni, go out there, figure this out, figure out how this team's going to play defense, and figure it out without the guy that had this team playing defense at a great level, because the defensive ace assistant coach, Jeff Bidzelic, decided, you know what, thanks, no thanks.
So I made the Wall Street analogy before, where you're so enamored with a stock that you wanted to get it when it was on the rise, like Apple when it first came out, but you're so enamored with it that you overpay for it and go get it no matter what the terms are later when the value isn't there. That's what they did with Carmelo Anthony. This is like, do you want the cupcake when it's fresh out of the oven? Or do you want the cupcake 7 days later when you know that it's stale and it's not even close to what it was? Because it's not just Carmelo Anthony. It's you lost a lot with the people that walked away or was not on your roster anymore last year. You did not replace them with the same kind of player with the same skill sets. So therefore, you either got to change the offense or you got to change the personnel. It's pretty much that simple. All right, so we got two in the books. We got one to go. We got 1 hour left of the big show, and we're going to be joined by the Sports Mappers next on the simulcast, which will stay in place all the way till 7 o'clock. So stay tuned. The final 60 minutes is on the clock, and you can be a part of the show. Join us next on Sports Map and ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.